I labeled this sermon today, Love Them. How many know we are called to love people? And how many know that sometimes people challenge that love? And so we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to look once again at Paul and how he reacted to the church there at Corinth. And these individuals stretched him quite a bit. But I want to start in Ecclesiastes 3. The words will be up there on the screen. And it begins with, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. How many know there's good things that happen in our life and there's some bad things? We have the ups and we have the downs. We have the positives. We have the negatives. And if you're a philosopher, the yings and yangs of life. And so, Ecclesiastes 3, Solomon kind of pours out here in verse 2. He says there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to be up to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and there's a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them up, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So we look at what he's saying here. There are seasons in our lives. And what I want us to examine here today is what happens when things go south. What happens when the hardships seemingly outnumber the good times? And how many times have we've read this scripture here in Ecclesiastes 3 and looked at this list of things and figured, hey, I'm not just going through one of these things. I'm going through multiple of these things. And so sometimes life compounds itself upon us, and sometimes we get stressed out. How many ever got stressed out, right? And even though we are in those places of being stressed and being maybe aggravated, maybe being consumed by our circumstances, how many know that we are still supposed to have a great attitude? Because usually when we're going through something, what do? We dump on everybody else around us. And so we're going to look at Paul here today. He's going through many different things, not just with the Corinthian church, but the many churches that he had founded and was ministering to. And so all these things are compounded on him, and yet we see Paul's testimony here as he kind of shares with them, this is what I'm going through, even though we are not getting along at this moment. So numerous times, Paul has found himself at odds with the Corinthian church. They were a spiritual church, but they were an immature church. Paul had to confront attitudes and actions with authority and grace. How many know how to balance that out in your lives? How many know as a parent, you have to demonstrate authority, but you also need to demonstrate grace? And so we kind of understand where Paul's coming from in this situation. So Paul responded by pointing to his leadership team. And as we read this scripture, you will notice that he uses the word we until the end. And then he uses I. But he's not just talking about him, but he's talking about those that work with him in the ministry. And he's talking about their attitude and their actions towards the church. And so Paul directed their attention to three lessons that he had learned as he was dealing with them. He was sharing to them what Jesus has done in his life to help him deal with them. How many know we need Jesus in our life? We need the Spirit of God in our life to deal with people. We got to love them. Sometimes we don't like them, but we got to love them. Those that he puts in your path, you've got to love them. And the thing is, if you think, oh, I've got this conquered, God's got your number because he will bring somebody else in your life to test that. So if you're with me, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So we're going to look at how to handle ourselves in hardship when people and circumstances don't really line up the way we want them to do. Because you've got to be in, you're going to be in one or two positions. You're going to either act or you're going to react. How many know that? You're going to be prepared for the situation or you're going to respond in the middle of that situation, probably in a way that you shouldn't be responding. So let's look at how to handle hardships. So number one, we live with others in mind. That's what Paul begins to say. He said, I live my life with other people in mind. Because how many know? People are watching our lives. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, people are watching you. If they know that you're a Christian and you attend a church, they are watching your life to see if you are genuine. So Paul writes there in verse 3 of chapter 6, he says, we try. That's a good start, isn't it? Try. How many of us try, right? Do we always succeed? No. What's the saying? Try, try again, right? So we try to live in such a way that no one will be hindered from finding the Lord by the way we act. So no one can find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we what? Try to show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten, been put in jail, faced angry mobs or board members, worked to exhaustion, endure sleepless nights, and gone without food. So Paul lived with hardships because he lived for others. How many know we can live for ourselves and still have problems? But how many know that when we begin to live for God, there's a target on our back? Because there is an enemy of our soul who does not want you to do that. And so we need to understand that Paul lived with hardships because he was living his life for others. Ministry is hard. Reaching out and living for Christ is hard. And so we find many people being turned off. We see churches closing. We see pastors and ministers leaving the ministry weekly because of the hardships that they're facing. Ministry is about sharing life with others. Sometimes it's hard enough to live with our own life, with our own families and their issues. But when you're in the ministry and when you have a heart to minister to other people, guess what? That is multiplied upon us. So when we commit to ministering to others, we have to be on guard. We have to guard our testimony. How many know that? Because the Bible says, do not give place to the enemy. And so if you're going to let down your guard, if you're going to give him a foothold in your life, guess what? He's not going to take a foot. He's going to take a yard. He's going to take a mile. He's going to take what you will give him. So this word here, he says, you live in such a way that no one will be hindered. That means be offended, to offend somebody. And what's unique is this word is only found here in this scripture. It is found nowhere else in the Bible. And so he's talking about us being careful that we do not offend others. We live to a higher standard as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. How many know that one indiscretion can ruin a lifetime of ministry? We have witnessed it over and over and over and over again of people destroying their testimonies, destroying the ministry that they had, and actually putting a stumbling block in the lives of other people because of a mistake that they made. So we need to be on guard as believers. So Paul wrote, we will not be a hindrance to anybody coming to Jesus. Have we made that stand that I'm going to live for Jesus with the idea of not causing anybody to stumble? That they're not going to see anything in my life that's going to cause them to doubt that I am a Christian. No one, he goes on and says, can find fault with our ministry. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? It's because this was important to him. He said, we are true ministers of God. Again, he said, I'm not going to put a stumbling block in anyone. No one is going to use me as an excuse for not serving Jesus. I hope that's the life we're living today. That we're not giving anybody an excuse for not following Jesus because they're seeing something in our life that shouldn't be there. It's quiet in here. Paul continues and says, we patiently endure troubles, hardship, and calamities. And again, this is talking about him because he's not just living for himself. He's not living this out for himself, but he's out living this out for the church. And as we look at these three words, troubles, hardships, and calamities, they seem like cinnamons. Synonyms. On toast. Yeah. Yes and no. The nuances are different. He's bringing something different out in all of these. But what he is saying is that when we begin to go beyond just being the well, like we talked about last week, and being a pitcher, being a river, and reaching out to others, guess what? It puts a target on our backs. Because what we are is we're declaring war on the enemy. We're actually going back into his territory. How many know he is called the God of this world? Meaning that you are stepping on his ground, stepping on his turf, when we begin to minister to those that are not in the kingdom. You think he likes that? You think he appreciates you doing that? I don't think so. Tribulation comes to those that are in the ministry. There are things that will come upon those who are ministering and reaching out in behalf of Jesus Christ that the world will not experience. He already has them. Yes, he will still steal, kill, and destroy them. But guess what? He has you in his sights. Paul gave examples of his hardship in the ministry there in verse 5. He said, we've been beaten. We've been put in jail. We have faced the angry mobs, and we've worked to exhaustion. We have had sleepless nights, and we have gone without food. What a testimony. How many of us in this place have gone that far? He said, even in our hardships, and I like that it says, whether circumstances or with people, because they can be intertwined. And even if they're just circumstances, how many know the fallout usually comes with people? We live in such a way that we do not bring offense to Jesus, and we do not bring offense to others. We need to be mindful of those around you. As I said earlier, people are watching your life. Let's not blemish the name of Jesus Christ. And let us not blemish the name of Chapel on the Hill or Christianity itself. We need to be careful. Paul said, I live with others in mind. Then he goes on and says, if we're going to face hardships, we need to prove ourselves to be people of the Spirit. How many know we're people of the Spirit? We believe in what he's doing in our lives. So many times we're caught up in the outward signs of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we got to be doing this, we got to be doing that, and whatever. But let me tell you today, there's an inner work that's just as important. We've seen the outer work of individuals in our culture, in our time, where we've seen the outward signs, but the inner was revealed. Isn't pretty. We need to be careful. We prove ourselves by being people of the Spirit. Look what he says here in verse 6. He said, we have proved ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, our sincere love, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We have faithfully preached the truth. God's power has been working in us. We have righteousness as a weapon both to attack and to defend ourselves. See, our light shines brightest in the middle of hardships. As I said, people are watching your life. God has never called us as a church to be a doormat. How many know that? I like what this says here in this scripture. It says we have righteousness as a weapon, both as an offensive weapon and as a defensive weapon. He has provided us that. How many know as we walk with the Lord, the proof is in the pudding? We possess the weapons of righteousness to attack and defend the truth. So I got a little bit of an illustration here for you. How many know what this is? It's a balloon. And our life is like a balloon. So our life is made up of what we put in it. I was sitting in a dentist's office one day, and I was reading a highlights magazine. It's better than reading some of those other magazines, isn't it? I was reading that magazine. I was looking through that magazine, and this guy says, "What are you reading that for?" And it's like, "Hello? I'm sitting in a dentist's office trying to kill time before I go in." He didn't get that, I guess. But he said, "You're wasting your time. You should be reading stuff that will help you, that will benefit you." This is in a dentist's office. And you know, I've never forgot that, right? Because what we put in is what we get out. And so as believers today, we need to understand and be responsible for what we're putting in our lives. So you're putting something in your life all the time. Every day you're putting stuff in your balloon. And how many know the pressures of life come upon us? Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, because sometimes it's not just one thing, but multiple things that are going on in our life. How many of you have ever felt like that, under a lot of pressure? Unbearable, isn't it? But sometimes we feel that way in our life. Anticipation. Hallelujah. I put that in there because I knew you'd be kind of getting drowsy at this moment in the service. How many know that hardships have a way of revealing what's inside? So when that breaking point comes in our life, something is going to come out. Are we going to be people of the Spirit with righteous things coming out? Or some other stuff? And you know what I mean by the other stuff. Paul said, we're proving ourselves. You're putting the pressure on, but this is what's coming out of it. You can do whatever you want, but this is who we are. So the question is here, like Paul, he said, I have something to prove. And today as believers, we have something to prove. We have something to prove to ourselves. And we have something to prove to others that truly we do belong to Jesus Christ. In the midst of your circumstances, let me ask you this. Are you demonstrating, as Paul said here, purity? That was the first thing he said on his list here. What that means, it's not talking about holiness. It's talking about sincerity. It means it with integrity. That you have the real deal. How many know there's a lot of people talking the deal, but they're not living it? He said, we are demonstrating understanding, because when we're going through things, guess what? When we come into this hardship and crisis in our life, it reveals what we believe. It goes beyond words. And we've seen people walk away from the kingdom of God. He said, are you demonstrating patience, long-suffering, endurance, the ability to stand and to push through? Do you know how to wield the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit? Kindness. How many, when you're going through something, you're the sweetest person to be around? Are you sweet in your spirit when you're going through things? You know, we had in one of our classes, somebody said that one of their relatives only preached what he was living. You know, I wouldn't be standing up here if I'd be preaching one thing probably. How many know truth is truth? Whether we're living it or not, I mean, we're trying. It may not be manifested in our life, but we're preaching the truth. Sincere love, is that's what coming out? Genuine love, unaffected love. Is it void of hypocrisy? Romans chapter 12, verse 9 says this, and I like this in the New Living Translation. It says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. I like that. Don't pretend. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. What's coming out of you? Is it the power of the Holy Spirit? Is it the evidence of the Holy Spirit alive in you? Because all these things that Paul's talking about, it's the fruit of the Spirit. So in the midst of our crisis and our hardships, what's coming out of us? What are people seeing? I hope they're seeing the fruit of the Spirit. The evidence that we belong to Jesus Christ. So we started with, he said, I live with people in mind. He said, I prove myself because I'm a person of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, how do we handle hardships? We serve God no matter the circumstances. Not everything goes our way. If it is, you can share next week and tell us how that's going for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8, he said, look what he says here. We serve God whether, how you like that? Whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us, we are honest, but they call us imposters. We are well known, but we are treated as unknown. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten within an inch of our lives. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. And look what he says here, verse 11. Oh, dear Corinthian friends, we have spoken honestly with you. Our hearts are open to you. If there is a problem between us, it is not because of the lack of love on our part, but because you have withheld your love from us. I am talking now as I would to my own children. Open your hearts to us. You notice he switches from we to I. Because this is where Paul's heart is. If you are looking for the perfect time or setting to step out and do something for God, it will never happen. You have to step in where you are. The world does not stop spinning for you to get on. Do you understand that? You have to jump on. When we minister, God should be our motivation. Look what he said there in verse 8. Paul said, we serve God. Whether people recognize it or not, or honor us or not, appreciate us or not, we serve God. So when you're going through something, remember, we're serving God. We're not serving people. Even in hardships, Paul continued to love them, to love on the church. And how many know people are fickle? People are fickle. They'll turn on you at a drop of a hat. Jesus had just cleansed the church of the temple. He had done some miracles. They were proclaiming him the Messiah. And this is at the beginning of his ministry in John chapter 2. This is what the word says. He said, but Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. Jesus was there to fulfill the will of the Father. Our job is to fulfill the will of the head of the church, Jesus Christ. We serve God by serving people. So let's not get that confused here today. People will burn you out and milk you dry. And if that's where your focus is on ministering to people, you're going down. and you're going to be that balloon where a bunch of nasty stuff comes out. How many people have we seen mad at the church because they got their feelings hurt? They didn't do this. They didn't do that. Who were you serving? Were you serving God or were you serving man? Were you serving yourself? We serve a God who can supply all our needs. All our needs. All our outward needs and all our inward needs. That's the good news that we have here today. Whether they love us or not, no matter what, we are called to love them. The church did not recognize his apostleship. They treated him like dirt, like, who do you think you are? But Paul said, hey, I'm your daddy. This church is here because I planted it. And I'm not giving up on you. You've given up on me, but I'm not giving up on you. I'm going to keep on loving you. Believers, we are... How many know everybody faces hardships? They do. Everybody on the face of the earth, whether they serve God or not, they face hardships. And sometimes as believers, we have been convinced that we're not supposed to go through hard times. Rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. The sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. Jesus said, in this world, you will have whatever you want to call it. It's not good. So everybody faces hardship. But as believers, when we face hardships, we live up to a different standard. We cannot react the way they do. We cannot react the way we want to. There is a standard to abide by. There is a spiritual law that God has written on our hearts as believers today. We follow the law of the Spirit of God written on our hearts. But let's take it up one more notch. When we come to the place where we minister on behalf of the Lord, when we're not just believers, but we step out to do what He wants us to do, whether it's just ministry in the church or whether it's just ministry to our family, ministry to wherever it is, we even have a higher standard to live by. Get it straight, folks. The church, the devil doesn't like you. He doesn't like you. But even in the midst of our hardships, our problems, hey, we need to do these three things that Paul talks about here. We need to live with others in mind. Yeah, you're going through a hard time. But you better be showing the fruit of the Spirit because people are watching your life. You are the light, you are the salt, you are the witness for Jesus Christ. Let's not be a stumbling block. We should be, they should be examining our lives and saying, hey, why are you acting that way? Why are you reacting that way? Why are you doing what you're doing? They should see something different in our lives. We live with others in mind. We prove ourselves to be people of the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the fruit of the Spirit. We need the gifts of the Spirit. We need all that the Spirit can give us. Life's tough enough on our own, but when we begin to have to carry other people, it even gets tougher. And we serve God no matter the circumstances. You know, life's not a bowl of cherries. It's not always easy. But I want to encourage, we are called to love them. So when you're going through your, whatever you're going through, and I'm guilty of this, and my family can testify, I'm not great under pressure. My wife is great under pressure. She helps me keep my feet on the ground. She's a great example for me. Some of you may be that way, and then others may be like a little bit like me. And you get stressed.
Paul set it up for us. It's not just about us, not just about our problem, but it's about others. Yes, the work needs to be done in us, but people need to see that work. That's why we're here. Wouldn't it be great if we got saved and he took us? That'd be great. But that's not the plan. That's not the plan. The plan is that we are to minister to others and show forth the glory of God. Hallelujah. Ushers, you'll come. I'm just asking as we go into communion, what's your reaction under pressure? Are you an explosive person? Maybe you're not explosive. Maybe you kind of become depressed. Maybe you kind of fold in and you don't talk to people. We all react different under pressure. Some of us might have some habits in our life that we run to kind of help us escape some of those things in our life so we don't have to think about them. I want to tell you today that TV is one of those things that we often run to forget what's going on in life. How many know that's true? Because you don't have to think. You don't have to feel. You kind of put it on autopilot. God has so much in store for us. Make an altar where you're at today. Am I living with others in mind? Because I know that people are watching my life. And as parents and grandparents, your grandkids and your children are watching your life. Are you the same person in church that they're seeing at home? That's a good question. Do the people at work know that you even go to church? We prove ourselves to be people of the Spirit. We live in the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit. And evidence of him comes out in our circumstances. And we serve God no matter the circumstances. Whether good, bad, we give glory to God. We walk in his power. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Is that true of you today? Hallelujah. What's in your balloon? What you've been putting in? What you've been putting in? Because what you're putting in is coming out. Please, act. Be prepared ahead of time. Because when things come, if we're prepared, we're ready for them. Yes, they may still be difficult, but we can make a stand. Be prepared. Be filled with the Spirit. Be prayed up. Be read up. Be ready. You don't want to be reactive. When you go into battle, it's nice to be prepared, to have a plan. Instead of waiting until the middle of the battle to come up with a plan and try to find some weapons. Hallelujah.